You are listening to the services of the First Baptist Church in Dallas. This is the pastor bringing the 11 o'clock morning message, which this day is dedicated to the memory of the great pastor, Dr. George W. Truett. On the Sunday that is closest to the anniversary of the death of Dr. Truett, we turn to some subject in his life, some denominational interest to which he devoted his efforts, to some part of his ministry that was dear to his heart. It brings to us an opportunity to make this day a day in keeping with the call of the Old Testament prophet, who turning to Israel said, "Look unto the rock from whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit from whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah who bare you." This church has one of the great and illustrious and noble histories of any church in the earth. Once in a while, God Himself calls us to look back to our forefathers, remembering our history, then to gird ourselves for the tasks that lie ahead. Any family, any nation, any people who look with disdain and contempt upon their past could not have a worthy and a noble future. So this day is a day that we set apart to remember those yesterdays and yesteryears in which the mercies and blessings and benedictions of God so wonderfully enriched our past, our history, our fathers of yesterday. Now, the occasion brings to us opportunity to do many things. For example, when we think of the interests of Dr. Truett, we survey the entire Christian earth, and especially the many ramifications and facets of our own Baptist denominational life. Dr. Truett was a key figure in almost every great Christian development. I have spoken on the founding, the organization of the Texas Memorial Baptist Sanitarium, which came to be known as Baylor University Hospital. Dr. Truett and Colonel Slaughter founded that institution. I have spoken of the Relief and Annuity Board, which was organized in this church. I have spoken of the Buckner Orphans Home. I have spoken of Baylor University, the academic school in Waco. I have spoken of our mission fields, and some of those fields to which Dr. Truett so wonderfully ministered. On and on through these 14 years now, we have taken up different phases and interests of the life of the great pastor. Now this morning, I have turned to the closing days of his ministry. And if I were to entitle the message, I would call it the closing days of Dr. Truett's ministry. The epistles pastoral have given to us a wonderful insight into the closing days of the great Apostle Paul. Were it not for these pastoral epistles, we would have no idea how the life of the apostle ended. The story of his life in the book of Acts closes in the 28th chapter with Paul, a prisoner in Rome, dwelling in his own hired house, free to preach the gospel to any who would listen. Now, in the pastoral epistles, we have a revelation of the closing life of the apostle who was liberated from his first imprisonment, who preached over the whole Roman Empire, and who came to his martyrdom under Nero, just before Nero himself was a suicide. And in the second letter to Timothy, he writes a final benediction. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And that closes the life of the Apostle Paul. Now, I was not here in the closing years of Dr. Truett's ministry. I did not know him personally. I just saw him from time to time as I grew up. So when I deliver this address, it is from newspaper accounts. And I have gone through these magazines and these newspapers. And from these records, I have prepared this presentation of the closing years of the ministry of the great pastor. Grace Noel Crowell, the poet laureate of Texas, wrote a poem in honor of Dr. Truett, a sonnet. And she read it at a dinner given to the great pastor at Mary Hardin Baylor College in February 1940. And this is that sonnet. We raise bronze statues to our fellow men whose service has been great in some good cause. 'Twere better if we paid our tribute when they still are with us. Thus today we pause before a man whom God has lifted up, who lives and moves, alive to every call, who holds out living waters in a cup and daily breaks Christ's bread of life to all. Shoulders and head above the throng he stands, a pillar of fire in his community. His zeal for souls has kindled other lands, yet none is humbler in the world than he. His is not fitful service down earth's sod, but long and steady burning for his God. The beginning of his 45th year as pastor of this glorious church was celebrated on the second Sunday in September 1941. A reporter wrote, Bob Coleman at one juncture of the services recognize the 45 old-timers who attended Dr. Truett's first service in the Dallas pastorate 44 years ago. So, according to this reporter, the second Sunday in September 1941, there were 45 people in the congregation who attended Dr. Truett's first service in the Dallas pastorate, which was the second Sunday in September, 44 years before. Now, is there anyone here? Is there anyone here out of these 45 of 1941 Is there anyone here who was present when Dr. Truett became pastor of this church? If you were, would you stand? Is there anyone here? Well, bless their hearts. How many? The congregation counts five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's another one. And Mrs. Tenney, that's 6. Well, bless them. There are 6 of the 45 who were present in 1941, who were present at Dr. Truett's first service here in Dallas. Now, you'll have to help me. I never thought to count that up. I did not think there'd be but maybe one. How many years ago is that? 61 years ago. That is 61 years ago. How God has blessed you 6 wonderful people. Now, on that occasion of the beginning of Dr. Truett's 45th year as pastor of this church, he said, and this is a quotation from the address he made that day, "The Christian gospel and work grow dearer and sweeter every day that I live. I was ambitious to be a lawyer, but God wanted me to be a preacher. Now, if God should give me 1,000 lives and should say to me, 'You wanted to be a lawyer, but I wanted you to be a preacher,' now choose what you will be with 1,000 lives. Without a moment's hesitation, I would choose to preach to the end of every one of them. Happy if with my latest breath I may but speak his name, preach him to all and gasp in death, 'Behold, behold the Lamb.' My grandfather died preaching. When the doctor said he had but a few moments to live, he asked to be propped up in bed, called in the neighbors, and died talking with them about the gospel. I couldn't ask for anything better." And that's from the message he delivered here on his 45th anniversary, the beginning of his 45th year as pastor of the church. Now, in the Dallas Morning News, dated Sunday, September 13, 1941, is a great headline: "Prince of Preachers Starts His 45th Year in Dallas Pulpit Sunday." Now, in that same issue is a long, long article by Dr. J.B. Cranfield, which is entitled, "George W. Truett, the Best Loved Preacher in the World." Now, I quote at length from that newspaper article written by Dr. Cranfield at the beginning of Dr. Truett's 45th year as pastor of this church. Now we quote from Dr. Cranfield. "Today, George W. Truett begins his 45th year as pastor of the First Baptist Church here. He came when he was 30. Spurgeon died when Dr. Truett was 25 years old. He never saw the great English preacher, but he has preached many times in the great Spurgeon Tabernacle in London. In 1897, I was editor of the Baptist Standard, which I had founded in 1892 and which was then published at Waco. Among my intimate friends then, and until his death many years later, was Colonel W. L. Williams, Senior Deacon of the First Baptist Church of Dallas. While visiting with him in the spring of 1897, he asked me to give him the name of a man who would qualify as pastor of the First Baptist Church. The former pastor, Dr. C.L. Scholes, having recently resigned. Without a moment's hesitation, I gave him the name of George W. Truett, then a resident of Waco, the young pastor of the East Waco Baptist Church, for which he had recently built a splendid new church edifice, and a member that year of the graduating class of Baylor University. Soon the call was made to Dr. Truett, and on the second Sunday in September 1897, he preached his first sermon as pastor, and these six were there. The mercies of God. Then Cranfield continues, at that time the First Baptist Church was worshiping in a new church building on which there was a substantial indebtedness. And I constantly hear reference to that great indebtedness on the church when Dr. Truett came to be pastor of this church. Well, I found out what the indebtedness was. Do you know what it was? Do you remember? Paul Dana would know. That great indebtedness which weighted the church down and under which the church laboriously struggled, grievously concerned. That great indebtedness was $10,000. That part of the church is the original church. The tower at the corner of Irvy and Patterson is the tower above the original church. Now, it had been completed 5 years before. The total membership when Dr. Truett came was 715. Everything else, Baptist-wise, followed Dr. Truett to Dallas. And now Dallas is the Baptist Center for the Southwest. First came the Baptist Standard. Cranfield moved the Baptist Standard here about 4 months after Dr. Truett came. First came the Baptist Standard, which moved to Dallas the following January. Then came the Baptist State Executive Board. Then was founded Baylor College of Medicine, Baylor Hospital, Baylor University School of Nursing, the College of Dentistry. Finally, later came the Relief and Annuity Board, the only Southern Baptist Convention Board west of the Mississippi. Now, in that article written by Dr. Cranfield, on that published in the news on that Sunday, in that article he turns aside and discusses Dr. Truett's seriousness and whether he ever smiled, because I had heard all my life as I grew up as a boy that Dr. Truett never smiled. I never did see him smile. So Dr. Cranfield continues, once here in Dallas, a good woman who had only seen Dr. Truett in the pulpit asked Mrs. Truett, does Dr. Truett ever smile? Mrs. Truett vigorously replied, why, of course he does. Do you think that I am married to a tombstone? Then Cranfield continues, in periods of relaxation, the great preacher would tell a joke. When Peter Clark McFarlane, editorial writer on the staff of Collier's Weekly, came to Dallas a few years ago to write a character sketch of Dr. Truett, Robert H. Coleman gave a luncheon for Mr. McFarlane and a few invited guests. My wife and I, Cranfield and his wife, were among those guests. Dr. Truett told this story. A rather timid young man who had been going to see his sweetheart for a number of months called on a certain summer evening, and his sweetheart entertained him out on the porch where they nestled in behind the ivy and honeysuckle vines. He was as slow upon this occasion as was his wont, whereupon she asked, why don't you kiss me? He replied, I've got sand in my mouth. She exclaimed, swallow it. You need it. Then Dr. Cranfield continues, in his pulpit work, Dr. Truett is a very serious man. It is only once in a great while that any gleam of humor is noted in his sermons. There is one that I recall. He was talking about the foolishness of amassing vast sums of money to be idle, inert, and useless. In pursuing this thought, he said, now he's quoting from Dr. Truett, "Not long ago, I was in conversation with John D. Rockefeller, reputed to be the richest man in the world, who was a good friend of mine. I congratulated him on his business success and added that he must be a very happy man. No, the senior Rockefeller replied, I am not happy at all. All I get are 3 meals a day and my clothes. My meals don't digest and my clothes don't fit." I might say, out of my listening to Dr. Truett, which was only at conventions and places like that, the only time I ever heard people laugh when Dr. Truett spoke was at Ridgecrest at Preacher's Week. I heard him one time there, and he was talking about the spiritualists, and he was talking about the mediums who said that they could talk to the dead. And Dr. Truett described some of them and the messages that they got from the dead. And his final observation was this: "All I have to say about it," said Dr. Truett, "is this: if that's all the dead have to say, let's just not bother them. It isn't worth it." Now, in an article in the Dallas Morning News, written by Felix R. McKnight, dated in 1944, is this word. Now I quote from McKnight: "One of the greatest of Dr. Truett's many services was soul winning by correspondence. 2 mornings of each week he devoted to answering hundreds of letters from people who sought his counsel. If his secretary was not available, he answered them in longhand personally. I could not quit this holy task if I wanted to, Dr. Truett once said. When I know how many I have led to Christ and see the constant appeals pouring into me, I would not quit if I could. And there fell into my hands one of those many, many letters that Dr. Truett wrote. After church, this came into my hands a long time ago. I had lost it. I found it in an envelope that I had tucked away, and I cannot remember the circumstances under which this letter has been given me. But with the letter, to whom it is addressed to Mr. Zeb Lapelle, or Lapelle, L-A-P-E-L-L-E, in Washington, D.C., and it is dated February 6, 1899. And with the letter, I have a personal card from Zeb Lapelle, or Lapelle. And he writes on it his new address in Washington. He is the chief printer, director. He's the chief printer, and he writes on there, retired. Evidently, I have seen this man in Washington or somewhere, and he gave me his card and asked if I wanted this letter that Dr. Truett had written to him. As a young man, he left this church and went to Washington, but I cannot recall it. If any of you could, I would greatly appreciate it. Now, I want to read this letter, which is so very typical of the multitudinous ministries of Dr. Truett, as he wrote to many, many different people. Now, this letter, I say, is dated February 6 in 1899. Mr. Zeb Lapelle, 25th Street Northeast, Washington, D.C. "My dear brother Lapelle, yours 24th Ultimate was received some days ago and noted with pleasure. I am delighted at your pleasant surroundings and at your prospects generally. you are in a position to make great progress in your self-improvement. Perhaps the most interesting city by far in all this great country is our national capital. I spent a week there once with increasing delight every hour that I stayed. You have wisely decided upon your church connections, I think, and I pray that you may be very happy and especially very useful in such membership. See to it, whatever you do or do not, that your spiritual life is not neglected. Just here, our young men suffer incalculably because in the press of the duties of ambitious young manhood, they neglect the care of their better life. I trust sincerely that it shall not be so with you. Remember that nothing can take the place of earnest personal work for the Savior. I trust that I do not need to suggest that you make it a point of conscience daily to read some portion of God's Word and to seek by prayer to find out His will concerning you. I enjoy your happy remembrance of your stay with us here, and I'm very much gratified that you received some blessings from our services. It's his humble way of, evidently the boy spoke of what Dr. Truett had meant to him. Isn't that a gracious way to speak of it? I enjoy your remembrance of your stay here, and I'm much gratified that you received some blessings from our services. Your message to the Young People's Union will be duly given, and I'm sure will be much appreciated. Know that your interests shall be kept very tenderly in my mind, and I pray that they may all be very precious in the sight of God. Only commit all your ways to Him, and He shall surely direct all your paths. With tender interest and Christian esteem, I am yours fraternally, George W. Truett. Now, could you think of a sweeter thing than to take time out and write a letter to a boy who had just gone to Washington? Now, on July 8, 1944, that morning, Saturday morning, the Dallas News came out with a great headline, Dr. George W. Truett, Minister to World, Dies. Then the first sentences, Dr. George W. Truett, the Prince of Preachers, whose jeweled gospel, isn't that an unusual phrase, whose jeweled gospel penetrated to the world's corners, died at 11:50 p.m. Friday. 77 at death, Dr. Truett, born on May 6, 1867 in the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina, spent the last 47 years of his life as pastor of the First Baptist Church. On the next day, Sunday morning, July 9, 1944, there was this editorial in the Dallas News, a little part of which I quote, "A heart that encompassed the world in its solicitude, and a voice that stirred the souls of men with regenerative power, were stilled Friday night when the messenger of death called George W. Truett from his earthly labors. Yet the influence of this man of God will persist like a river of living waters. His words and his works will be remembered through generations to come. Not only here in Dallas, where as pastor of the First Baptist Church for a period of years but three short of half a century, Dr. Truett won the esteem and confidence of all men. A day at the First Church in Dallas will restore any man's confidence in the vitality of the Christian religion." Oh, what a sentence. A day at the First Church in Dallas will restore any man's confidence in the vitality of the Christian religion. Throughout the Christian world, there will be sorrow at his passing, yet grief will be assuaged by gratitude that such a man has lived and labored among us. His life was a contribution to the good of men. On Friday, July 7, 1944, he died. On Monday, July 10, at 4 o'clock, the memorial service was held in this auditorium. The casket was brought to the church at 11:30. The body lay in state until time for the memorial hour. The stream of people passing by was described by the Dallas News in a headline saying, "Over 20,000 friends view body." The city, county, federal offices and courts were closed, as well as many retail stores. The floral display, 6 truckloads of flowers, was described in the paper, and one unique flower arrangement, which from the picture stood right there. The flower display was this one, in the form of an open Bible with the words, "Thy will be done," worked into the pages of the Bible. Now, the paper also printed the funeral address of Robert H. Coleman, and I quote from the funeral address of Bob Coleman: "George W. Truett was the greatest soul I ever touched. I came to Dallas in February 1901, and for more than 43 years, I have been very close to him. I first became his assistant in December 1904. I loved him and honored him above any man on earth except my honored preacher father. For many years, Dr. Truett has been a great sufferer, and while we cannot, for many months, Dr. Truett has been a great sufferer. He lay very ill for about a year, and while we cannot understand it, yet we know that God knows and cares. Suffering is part of God's plan for building an enriching life. The world's greatest Christians have been the world's greatest sufferers. We are told that Christ was made perfect through suffering. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him." In the evening, this newspaper report of Bob Coleman's funeral address. In the evening, we say of the sun, it is gone. Gone where? It has simply disappeared from our view to shed light on some other part of the earth. We say of the ship that passes over the horizon and disappears, it is gone. Gone where? It is just winding its way across the pathless waters to find a shelter in another harbor. Our pastor has gone to find rest in another harbor and to shine in another realm. It is not darkness the pastor has gone into, for God is light. It is not lonely, for Christ is with him. It is not an unknown country, for the Savior is there. O angel, bearing the everlasting gospel to the people, fly faster. And if you cannot fly faster, then commit your precious message to the beloved pastor, and he will bear it to the praise of the glory of God and to the joy of humanity. We cannot but feel today how rich we have been and how poor we are. In the words of Elisha, we say, "My Father, my Father." The chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. God's command stirs us today. Moses, my servant, is gone. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan. How like Bob Coleman. God spared him a year and a half. And I think God did it to help me. Moses, my servant is gone. Arise. Arise. Pass over this Jordan. The news reporter, in describing the service, said, at the simple service before the grave, Robert H. Coleman read scriptures from 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, a comfort concerning the resurrection of the Christian dead. As Dr. Truett was finally laid to rest in the grave, which stands on a hill, his most intimate friend, Coleman, left him with these words. Now look at the beauty of this little poem Coleman quoted. Warm summer sun, shine brightly here. Gentle southern breeze, blow softly here. Green sod above, lie light, lie light. Good night, great heart, good night. We'll see you in the morning. And that closed the ministry of the incomparable pastor. Now we're off the air. I want to share with you something that some of you already know. All of you who were here at the time that I came to assume this staggering and for a young man, a commitment, a task that would crush the soul. When I was a boy, a small boy, I went to Amarillo to see my sister. And while I was there, Dr. Truett held a revival meeting. That's the first time I ever saw him. In most any Baptist household, Dr. Truett was looked upon as a prophet, as God's greatest man. And between the brick church at 9th and Polk and a temporary wooden educational building was a wooden walkway to the back of the church. I was standing there by myself as a boy, and Dr. Truett walked down that wooden walkway, and where it turned to go up into the church, I was standing. He walked down that walkway where I was as a boy and looked at me, stopped and looked at me, like you don't ever forget. Look. And in the days that passed, in the years that passed, I grew up to be a young man and a young preacher. And they were holding a simultaneous revival meeting in all the churches in Atlanta, Georgia. And I was preaching at the Kirkwood Baptist Church, where Dr. White, now First Church Houston, was pastor. And Dr. Truett was at the First Baptist Church in Atlanta, preaching with Dr. Ellis Fuller, pastor. Upon a day in that simultaneous revival, all of the civic clubs came together downtown in a great, spacious hall and listened to Dr. Truett preach, speak. I was seated in the middle of that great hall, somewhat close to the front. And for the strangest thing, Dr. Truett seated there right by the side of the podium. Dr. Truett looked at me. A long, long, long time. Just seated there, looked at me. You couldn't forget it. Those eyes, the way he could look, a long, long time, looked at me. When Dr. Truett died, I cannot remember, but soon after that, I dreamed, and it was as real as I am real standing here this day. I had been in this auditorium one time when I was a freshman at Baylor, sat over there on my extreme left, attending a BSU meeting on a Sunday morning, and Dr. Truett preached. Only time I was ever here. I dreamed that I, between two men, walked in that back door, up that stairwell, and sat down in that balcony right there. The front of the church was covered with flowers, 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 and the church was bathed in tears. Everyone was crying, everyone, all the people on this lower floor, in the choir, in the balcony around, and by me, everyone was in tears. The man seated on my left stood up, turned to me and said, "The great pastor is gone. The time has come when you must take his place." I said, "No, no, not I." And when I said it, the man on my right put his hand on my knee, and I turned to see. And it was Dr. Truett in that same looking as I had seen and remembered as a boy. And Dr. Truett said, "Yes, you must go preach to the people." And it went away. I received a letter from Bob Coleman asking me to come to preach at the church. 1 month after that, I received a long-distance call on a Wednesday night from Bob Coleman saying that the church had just called me to be pastor of the congregation. These things are inexplicable, except as God moves. Now, I have come to see the reason God chose so unable and inadequate a successor was that the world might be astounded what God's strong arm can do. This is His work. This is His church. This is His ministry. These are God's people. Moses, my servant, is gone. Now, arise. Go over this Jordan. And as I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. And this work has been a miracle to me. I never dreamed that it'd be like this. Never. Our Sunday school, our training union, our preaching attendance, all of this ministry has been a marvelous thing to me. And I can just humbly say, I am glad that I could be around just to look at it when God chose to do it. And may we always, all of us, remember it is of God. And the praise and the love and the glory and the devotion and the honor, all are His. And every soul He gives us are trophies to lay at His precious and blessed feet. Now we stand to sing a stanza of a hymn. And while we sing it, all right, let's go ahead and stand. While we sing it, somebody to give his heart to the Lord, somebody to come into the fellowship of the church, to put his life in faith, in consecration, by baptism, by letter, a family, or just one. God is so blessedly good to us. At the 8:15 service, there were six who joined the church this morning. Six. At this hour, does God bid you come, trusting Jesus as Savior, putting your life in the church as the Spirit shall lead the way down these stairwells into the aisle? Would you come and stand by me today? I give my heart to the Lord, or today we place our lives in the fellowship of the church while we sing the appeal.